Amen. Our text for this message is from that gospel lesson we read just a few moments ago with the birth, after the birth of John the Baptist and Zechariah singing that wonderful, beautiful song, which is known as the Benedictus. Dear friends in Christ, she knew what was about to happen. She'd met her son and daughter-in-law in the hall. She'd seen the balloons. It's a boy. And the gift bag with the sweatshirt, world's greatest grandpa. It was all out there in the hall waiting to come in. But first, she had to go in the room and make sure that he was awake. The nurses at the desk said that he'd had a restless night. She wanted to make sure that he was awake, that he was sitting up in bed, that he looked okay before she called him in. He was dying, of course. Nothing would change that. He would never get out of this bed. He wouldn't get out of the nursing home. But today, he would hear that Susan was pregnant, that the baby was a boy, that he would be a grandpa. Even though he was surrounded by the reminders of death, today he would have a wonderful reminder of life, God's gift of life, a little baby boy. And so she went into the room and prepared him for a gracious visitation. I don't have to tell you, and sometimes, you know, we all feel this way, that sometimes it's hard to hear good news. It's hard to hear great news. And as crazy as that might sound, the circumstances of our lives sometimes actually prevent us from a moment of holy joy. The presence of cancer maybe has closed the door to any of the other visitors that might bring life and love and joy. The painful memory of a divorce casts such a shadow over life that we can't read the letters that spell out hope. Unemployment or underemployment, mounting debt, concern for children, care for aging parents, and the anxiety of life crowd so closely and speak so loudly that any messenger of joy is easily drowned out in all of the din that is surrounding us. And it's for this reason that it is good to give God thanks when he sends anyone to prepare us for hearing the good news, for hearing any good news. God knows that we're not always ready to listen. I mean, God knows that sometimes we're not ready at all to listen. And so he comes to prepare our hearts and our minds even before he speaks to you and me. This morning we celebrate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist by giving God thanks and praise that God sends John to prepare us for Christ's gracious visitation. That he actually sends messengers to prepare us for salvation. Now, John the Baptist, of course, is very familiar to us. He's that kind of strange character. He's the weird guy in the Bible. He's the one that lived out in the wilderness, right? He dressed in animal skins. He survived on locusts and wild honey. He's the one that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. Eventually, he's imprisoned by King Herod, and, well, his head ends up as a party favor on a plate. In all of these cases, John actually strikes us as a little odd, a little attention-getting. And John could really be, literally be remembered for a lot of different things. But of all the things for which John could be remembered, today the church calls attention to his birth, of all things. Why? Why does the church call attention to Jesus, to John's birth? Well, it's because here at John's birth that we hear how God would like John to be remembered. When John was born, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways. God wants us to remember John as the one who was sent ahead of Jesus, before Jesus, to prepare God's people for God's gracious visitation. Of course, I mean, if you remember the story earlier in St. Luke's Gospel, John's conception had actually caused kind of a stir, because Elizabeth and Zechariah were a little bit older, past childbearing stage. They never had any children. And John is conceived. And when John's conceived, Zechariah is struck dumb. And I don't mean that he lost his intelligence. What I mean is that he could not talk. He had actually been struck dumb by the angel who had come to proclaim that John was going to be born because of his disbelief. And now John's birth is no different, right? I mean, friends and neighbors are gathering around to praise God for this miracle, because it really is a miracle, this miracle child's birth. And when the child is born on the eighth day, when they're getting ready to name John and circumcise him, Zechariah's mouth is now open. And when he speaks, the friends and neighbors, well, they don't end up praising God and wondering, you know, standing around saying how wonderful this is. They're scared and they scatter. And they start talking to one another about what it all meant and who this child was going to be. At least they recognized that he would be a special one for God. But rather than follow all of those people out into the countryside of Judea, what Luke does is he asks us to stay and to listen to Zechariah. In the words of his song, the Benedictus, which is in our liturgies, we actually is an alternate to the Te Deum in the Matins. In the Benedictus, we hear what all of this means. And it's kind of split into two different parts, two different sections. First, Zechariah offers a grand overview of God's work of salvation to his people, to Israel, through kind of the biblical history. And then he points to one particular moment, to the birth of his son John. And by doing this, Zechariah actually joins John's life into that much larger story, that much larger history of God's salvation. See, John is the one that God is sending to prepare his people for Jesus. Excuse me. John's words actually awaken people to their sin. When John speaks, those who listen end up entering into the River Jordan and come out standing on the other side. Wet with those waters of repentance, they wait. And then, and only then, are they ready to see Jesus. Oh, then, and only then, are they ready to hear Jesus. You see, John is supposed to be remembered not because of his lineage, not because of the miracles, or even because of his lifetime of limitations. You know, those wandering in the desert, eating locusts and wild honey and all that kind of stuff. No, John is to be remembered because of his place in that much larger ministry of mercy. You see, what happens is that when you and I come to Jesus as lost and forsaken sinners, only then will we see who he truly is. Only then will we see that Jesus is our Savior. As John said when he baptized, just before he baptizes Jesus in the Jordan, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He dies on the cross to forgive our sins and to rise from the dead to bring eternal life to you and to me and to the whole world. So no wonder God sent John. No wonder. See, the world is so blind to the working of God, and the working of God is so gracious and beyond anything that we could ever understand. God had to send John to get us ready. We wouldn't have been ready in any other way. See, God doesn't want this wonderful, this gracious visitation of Jesus, doesn't want the work of Jesus to be missed. He doesn't want anybody to miss what's coming. You see, John is more than just one more instance of God's immense love. I mean, John is. He is just one more instance of God's immense love for you and for me. It's another example of God doing everything that He can to call us from sin so that we might experience God's work of salvation in our hearts, in our lives. So today we actually do give thanks to our Lord for sending John to prepare us for Christ's work in our hearts. Of course, God's ministry through John is hardly over. His ministry is not done. Today, John, or somebody like John, still stands there at the edge of wherever Jesus is present, awakening us to God's gracious visitation. Think about when a child is brought to the waters of holy baptism. I mean, his parents are the messengers that God sends, preparing that child for God's gracious visitation. Those parents have chosen sponsors, or godparents, whatever you want to call them. They're also going to be the messengers throughout his life of God's gracious visitation to him or her, to prepare that child to hear the words of salvation. So around the font, we actually see kind of circle upon circle of messengers sent by God to prepare that one child for God's gracious visitation. And in our communion liturgy, we actually sing John's words during the Agnus Dei. Agnus Dei literally means Lamb of God. When we sing it, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. Grant us your peace. Whenever we hear those words, maybe somebody who's a parent who's been struggling with their child all week hears words of comfort, of love, of forgiveness. Lamb of God who takes away my sin, have mercy on me. Maybe when we hear those words, that's what we hear. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is here, graciously visiting us with his body and blood when we receive the Holy Communion. As the congregation sings the hymn, maybe you and I are woken up to the wonder of God's gracious visitation here. Consider maybe when we pray for others who need healing from their injuries, or comfort in their grief, or guidance in difficult situations, or even forgiveness for wrongs that they have done to others. Here is where they find healing, love, and comfort as they and we are awakened to God's gracious visitation with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. When we see these people, when we hear their words, when we open our minds and for a moment comprehend the ways that God has prepared you and me for his gracious visitation, Zechariah's song becomes our song. It becomes our song, a faithful way for us to still remember God's gracious visitation, and to still offer praise to our Lord and Savior. As he said at the very beginning in verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.